Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Graze Box. I am Tanuki Max, and today I'm going to be interviewing Graze E himself. How are you doing,
what's
man?
What's up, man? What's poppin', man? It's been a while since I've been on here, man, but, you know, I'm here, and I'm back at it, and I'm going crazy as ever, so that's what's going on.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. So how are you doing today or tonight?
Doing good, man. I just finished some work in my studio. You know, I just finished putting some stuff up. I just got off of work. You know, the same old stuff, man. Just doing this and just staying on the grind, man. Never letting up.
Yeah, I feel that. I have to go back to work tomorrow myself. They're actually switching some schedule stuff around, so that'll be interesting.
I know, it's crazy, man.
Yeah. So, where are you from originally?
I'm from Southern California. I'm originally from this little place called Hemet, California. Shout out to all my people that grew up in there. And you know, I'm just here in Cali. I just been going up to LA back and forth and just doing my thing, and that's it.
Ah, you're a lot more west than I am. That's really interesting.
Thanks.
So, like, what would be your personal backstory, and how has it affected the way you craft music and stuff like that? Because I see you release albums.
Oh, yeah, man. I really appreciate that, man. But me personally, I started out since I was 14 years old. I started just getting CDs. I got some CDs. I burned them on my discs and on my computer. I just started. It was just one day I just fell in love with music, man. And just like, I used to listen to a lot of like old school. Like I used to listen to like a lot of old school rap. I listened to some of the newer stuff that was at that time. It was like 2015. And, you know, like it just really went all downhill from there. You know, I started off with CDs. Eventually, I kind of got on SoundCloud. I still started catching on, and people just really caught my buzz off the CDs and stuff. And then, you know, I died down a little bit and I came back up, and you know, it's just kind of been a loop like that, where I'd have my periods where I go up and I go, and then, you know, I just kind of creep back a little bit and then I pop up again. And, you know, it's been that way. I've just been able to keep the momentum, and I've been able to reintroduce myself in every single era, so to speak.
You know, I do seem to have like this strange, I have a strange, I'm sorry, it's a little hard for me to describe, because I myself would not say I'm like a music artist, but I kind of understand the art that goes into it. And I feel like more than anything, music is an expression of oneself.
Right.
So I kind of like music artists, I kind of think are pretty cool. And I feel like their music is kind of an expression of themselves. And like, I was going to say, the reason I think that is because I feel like, one, people who create music put their personal and past experiences into it. And two, I remember reading somewhere that there's like a part of your brain that unlocks with certain songs. And I feel like certain type of music, like if you associate something in your brain with a certain type of song, then that song is associated with that memory. So every time you hear that specific song, you think of that.
You only think of it in that way when you listen to that song, because I don't know, music is just, for me, is an expression of the soul. For me, it's like I've seen is like how the game has changed, and it's just like, I don't know, right now it's like people don't really care about being an artist anymore. I did this because I did it because I loved music, because I loved how I sounded and what it meant. I really wanted to be an artist and stuff like that. I didn't really care. I don't care about being bigger than the next man, you know. I could have 10 plays, or even if one person listens to my music, like, and I'm, or, you know, somebody, if it just sounds good to me, like, I'm always just going to be dedicated to my craft. And it's just, whether people listen or not, you know, if I change even one person's life with my music, or if they even just listen to me, I fulfill my purpose as an artist.
So, to you, music is kind of more of a personal message more than anything else. I really think that's pretty noble. But while we're on the topic of music, and you were talking about how you have this passion for it and how you feel like it's an expression of yourself, I wanted to ask, when did that desire first kick in? Like, what was, like, how did you know that you loved music? What sparked your desire?
I was in high school. I was 14 years old. Keep in mind, this is like, I'd say around 2014, But I didn't want to start making music immediately. It was just something in me just sparked in me that I just wanted to make music. I listened to the old school stuff, I listened to some of the old school stuff at that time. Back then, there was only two genres of music where it was like, you either listen to the old school or the quote unquote the new school, but there wasn't all these little subgenres going on. It was just like either like the East Coast or the West Coast or the Southern or whatever, old school, new school, that's it.
But yeah, there's like 10 billion different types of music nowadays. It's hard to keep up with them all.
There wasn't really a SoundCloud movement back then, but it's just like, I remember like before all that, like just seeing just like the old school artists, how they did it, and how like the newer artists, they did it, and just how everything was so connected and everything was just so cool. And personally, I just really loved the music back then. I just really loved the music. Like, you know, I had multiple inspirations as just a 14-year-old kid. You know, just being a 14-year-old kid, just going to high school, and just being at the situations I was at the time, and just how I grew up. Like, I just really gravitated to stuff that was just really raw to me. That was just really cool to me. And you know, if I do it, if I want to be an artist, it's because it's not because I want to be cool or anything like that. It's just simply just something that I feel like was in myself, and I just wanted to go out and do. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
that's music's more of like an outlet for you than it is like any sense. Kind of gain for you. It's just something that you love to do.
It's just certain things in this world that you just kind of meant to do, or maybe you just give it a crack at it for fun, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, like you really start going on the road because it's like you didn't know you had it in you. And now you get excited and you just keep on going and you keep on going to the point where it's like you already have your foot in the door. You know what I'm talking about? You already have your foot in the grass, and once you got your foot in the grass, you just got to keep running.
So you got to keep going. I know music's more of like something that you're just passionate about, but do you have any goals back then or even now that you may or may not have exceeded in?
I remember as a little kid, like, I'm gonna be honest, as a kid, as a 14-year-old, one of the biggest reasons I wanted to be an artist was like, I was worried that, me and my situations back then. I'm not saying I'm anything or not, so don't take this the wrong way, but it's just me. I personally thought that I wasn't gonna be on this earth for long. I don't really know exactly why I thought like that, but just me being young, just being worried about what's going around me and what was going on in the world, I just felt like, man, if I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna go out with the bang, and I'm gonna go out with the message. I tried so hard. It was my dream to end up on Google. It was my dream to end up on Google and Spotify and have my name out there. I'm like, well, even if I'm long and gone, you feel me, I die a legend because my name is there. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like I left my mark on this earth. I left my mark on the planet before I go. I remember being a 14-year-old kid, and it's like, if I'm going to go, I'm going to go a legend. I'm going to go out with a bang. So I just wanted to kind of do it like that, and it wasn't exactly too negative, and I wasn't being too crazy, but it was just doing something that was just cool, and I was just able to do a message. And I was hoping that I was able to live through that. My goals now have very much changed from way back when as a 14-year-old kid, but now it's like now I'm fully dedicated. Me in these past few years, I've been fully dedicated and being an artist. And being an artist to me is not just like how fire you can be, or you know what I'm talking about. It's just more being an artist is not just an evolution in your music, but an evolution in yourself through your music, as well as just like, because as an artist, I myself, the artist is a work of art. Persona is the work of art. What I do in my music, I consider a work of art. I respect everybody else's. Well, everybody, I respect all art, whether it's music, any craft, pictures, images, drawing, anything that's considered an art. That even though there's some stuff out there that's like I don't like, or maybe I don't listen to, if it's something that you actually put effort to and something that really helps you as a person, just help grow into yourself, and something that you really dedicated to, and you put all the effort and just put your perspective of beauty on whatever you want to do, I respect it. And me as an artist is like, I got nothing against it. I feel like anything with art has an infinite amount of beauty in it. If that makes sense. Everything is beautiful. Life is beautiful. Life is an art. I'm an artist. Love
Yeah, you know, some yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes I do think about that sort of thing because one thing I always seem to remember is that a lot of popular artists seem to get discovered like right after their time, and it's really kind of sad when that happens. But you know, sometimes I wonder if they all have the same mentality as that.
me as an artist, what I gotta say to that, whether it's my time, whether it's after my time, or 1 million years from now, as long as they hear what I gotta say, I succeeded as an artist, even one person. Because you gotta think of my perspective is this: it's like, even if you're not here, we gotta realize, you know, maybe you look, say you're a YouTuber and you see your YouTube only get like 10 plays, 2 plays, you got 2 subscribers, right? You gotta understand, even if you were to die and pass on from this
That's
earth
still there.
100, 200, 300, 400 years from now, you could become something big. You know what I'm talking about? And you may have not even known it. You could even come back as a meme. And you know what? People in the future would love you for it. And there's stuff out there that maybe 500 years from now, you would pop up. There's a lot of stuff that's been lost in the media that's been, check it out. Just think about all the things that have been lost in the deepest starts, the deepest reaches of the internet, and where nobody would find, and they've been pulled out by one or two people, and they became one of the biggest things to ever sweep the internet. You know what I'm talking about? And that could be the same thing for not just what I do, but for what other people do. And as well, like, the game changes. If you ask an artist, say 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, and like, hey, are you on Spotify? Are you on Apple Music? They're gonna be like, what's that? They're thinking about cassettes. The game changes. Maybe 20 years from now, we're not gonna have the internet. Maybe we're gonna have something different, and everything that we're doing right now is gonna become irrelevant. And something of new relevance comes on. Life is a circle, you know. There's just different levels. Everything just keeps repeating itself in a different order. So maybe one
But I
of the
do feel like, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, keep going.
I was gonna say, I do feel like, yeah, I feel like everything just keeps moving more digitally. Like, even with talking of this metaverse stuff, while it's still very like in early development, I feel like trying to create almost like this virtual dimension where
Right.
information is stored, I think that's actually really cool.
I
I
was
don't
thinking
really
about
know if
it.
I trust it in the hands of big corporations, but it's kind of weird. It's like almost existential. Like we as a group of people, like for who knows how long, for over thousands of years, it's almost like we're kind of discovering things that already exist, but like
It's a new level of consciousness. I feel like it's everything that we do is I'm very heavy. Me personally, if I were to speak about myself, I personally describe myself, I'm very heavy on the idea of spirituality and consciousness, and just the fact that we're just achieving something new. It's stuff that's already been there, but it's just we're just reaching new levels of consciousness, and we're gonna go through that, and after we go through that, we're gonna go through something else, and everything is all it's like we've been through this before, but we're going through it again in a different fashion. Think about it, like the metaverse, like before the metaverse and all that, if that becomes big, if you were in the 90s and the thousands, a new thing would have been the internet. And that would have been the equivalent of us hearing the metaverse today if it becomes big. You know what I'm saying? So it's like
Yeah.
that's my opinion on it. But like say when computers were first invented, you know, like there is stuff like that, and just how like you're able to communicate messages from one place to another and do that, like all these
That's,
things. Yes.
yeah, no, that's something I think about too. Like, we kind of take for granted. I mean, a computer is a piece of metal that allows electricity to pass through it that
Right.
connects to a screen, where we can send messages and talk to each other and literally connect to the world using just, using metal,
It's
something
absolutely
that was
insane,
already
right?
here. We found it is insane. Nowadays, it's like people worry about like having the best, latest, and greatest gaming PC so they can play something like Fortnite
You
or
want to
Warzone. And it's
hear
like,
something?
I'm just boggled by the idea that human beings have found a way to harvest electricity, put it into a box, and talk to the whole world.
Have you seen the sizes of like how SD cards are nowadays
They're
compared to how
tiny. Yeah, they're tiny. They're
like
tiny.
they're
I'm always
tiny, but
afraid every time I
they're
buy one
almost
that I'm going to lose it.
we have almost like this or even more, like 1 terabyte amount of storage and just like in the palm of your fingertips. When 10 years ago, a PS2, a big cartridge would, keep in mind, you had to go somewhere and buy. It didn't come in, you feel me? It didn't come in with the console, but that little, you know, eight millibytes was like huge back then. And now
8 megabytes.
And now if you take a picture from the internet and you save it on your computer, it's gonna be bigger than the entire PlayStation 2 memory card. And it's crazy how your whole childhood could be inside of a little memory card back then in a different era, but now it's like that's not even enough for a small picture nowadays. And it's just like we're just going to different levels. You know what I'm talking about? It almost reminds me of like, I don't mean to get too little nerdy here, but forgive me, but you ever watched like...
It's okay, I'm a nerd myself.
Check it out, man. You ever watched Dragon Ball, right? You ever watched Dragon Ball?
Sometimes,
Dragon Ball Z and all that? Shout out Dragon Ball.
When I was 11, I used to be obsessed with Dragon Ball. Nowadays, I don't know so much about it, and because I've kind of forgotten a lot of it, but me and my brother used to love watching Dragon Ball. Man, it came on like the CW channel.
I've been down that pipeline, man. I'm not gonna lie. I've just been watching, man. You know what? One thing I noticed is there's something I love about it, man. If you guys haven't checked out Dragon Ball, check it out already. I'm talking about the original series. I checked that out. But anywho,
I gotta go watch it too.
You gotta watch it, man. It's lit. But check it out, man. So it's like you ever watch Dragon Ball Z, man? You know how like when they first start out, everything is at a certain level. Their enemies are at a certain level, you know. And it's like there's certain challenges they gotta face at a certain level. But once they progress, their enemies get stronger, their situations get stronger, but they themselves are stronger, and it's like the same thing as like back then, but just at a different level. But it's the same thing, you know? And it's just stuff handled differently, you know, and it's just little stuff like that. And I'm just talking about in general, like, and not just as an artist, but in life. And you know, life imitates art, and we're just gonna go through the same thing over and over in different forms and different levels, but it's the same thing. It's the most bizarre thing. And you know what? It's like one of the only things that is like, you know what I'm talking about, that it's just different each time it comes around, and you could just learn more from, which I find even more bizarre. So it's all just something I'm just trying to figure out, man. But you know what? I think it's just in life, the answer in life is just enjoy it for what it is and just learn and intake everything that you can from everything. So
yeah, when we were on the topic of memory cards and stuff like that, they got me thinking, how do you record your music?
Check it out, man. So as of now, I use Pro Tools. I'm probably not going to use anything else other than Pro Tools. You know what I'm talking about? So that's it. I just use Pro Tools. And
okay, well, I'm sorry.
What Pro Tools is like Pro Tools is a DAW. You just pay a subscription and you go on. It's the industry standard, and that's it. I just go in. That's what I've been making my newer albums on, and I just use a certain preset, and that's it.
So, was it anything kind of like how the media portrays it, where like you pay to go inside this studio and they have like a microphone and they've got somebody at the desk with all these switches? Is it anything like that?
Yes, that is the industry standard. If you go to Los Angeles, New York, Miami, or wherever it's hot right now, Chicago, you're going to go there. If you pay for studio time, there will be somebody there who will open Pro Tools. Any studio, any legit studio, a certification with certified professionals you go into, or anybody else for that matter, is going to have Pro Tools running. That is the industry standard.
So do you have like a specific time and place you do with your recordings and your music?
I'd say whenever I'm off of work, well, not whenever when I'm off of work, but say like if I have a day off where it's like I'm really just feeling it and I'm just really motivated, and I really just do it more kind of towards like 12 in the afternoon to like, I do it to 12 in the afternoon to like, I'd say maybe around 6 o'clock. In the afternoon.
Oh wow, so you spend a lot of time in this studio.
Yeah, I do have a little bit of engineering experience. I just want to quickly add that before Pro Tools, I had a phase I was using something called BandLab for a couple. I was using BandLab for a couple years, and there I learned a lot of little stuff in my development as an artist, and just Band Lab was pretty cool. I learned a lot. I had a lot of fun with it. You know, in my high school years, I had a lot of fun with it. I gained a lot of followers there. You know, shout out to my followers there. And, you know, I appreciate everybody that supported me and is here for me and here to watch me grow as an artist that I am today. And I still have a lot of growing to do.
You know, I think I've seen that tool before, if I remember correctly. I think it had a
Yeah,
great background.
everybody's on it now. I remember going on it since like I was like 2016 when I was on it, and like now a lot of people heard about it. And you know, I'm talking about slowly but surely, I started, like, I remember being in class and I was like, there's people was like, oh, I want to make music too, right? And all of a sudden, and then I looked at their phone, I'm like, oh, you got BandLab? He's like, yeah, I got BandLab. What about? I'm like, man, add me, you know what I'm talking about? And you know what I'm talking about? Sooner and later, I went up to the, we went, we linked up, we went to the garage and we just started making music, you know? And it's like, it's little stuff like that that I'm gonna forever cherish, but we're beyond the BandLab phase now. Everybody's in the BandLab phase now. BandLab took a huge leap. And it's damn near almost like it looks very professional now compared to when it started. It's like people is dedicated to the software, man. Shout out to them. But yeah, right now I'm just on my Pro Tools and that's it. I don't really see like I don't think I'm ever gonna change from Pro Tools from now on.
Now that kind of reminds me, and forgive me, I don't really know too much about like audio and band softwares myself,
right,
as I have not really dived too deep into them yet. Right now I'm just kind of trying to find something that works, but that kind of reminds me, because I remember when it was like the early 2000s and Audacity came out.
Oh man, don't even.
And that's probably that's probably like a basic program now, because I'm pretty sure like everyone has it on their computer.
Man,
my dad used to use Audacity all the time.
I remember when I said I started making music 2015. High school kid, I had computer class, 14-year-old kid. And with computer class, they would have the little headphones. I only had like little like skull candy earbuds, you know what I'm talking about? But you know what I'm talking about? I remember I would ask my teacher, I'd ask my teacher at that time, I'm like, or my substitute teacher, whatever. I said, hey, let me come in after, whenever I got out of class early and I was able to go to lunch, or if I went to lunch and I was able to come into the class, I put on those little earbuds or those little headphones, the little computer headphones from the class. I slapped it in the Dell, what's it called? The Dell PC. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I remember Dell PC.
I turned on the Audacity. I slapped in the drill beat and I started going ham. I started going crazy. You know what I'm talking about? And I remember Audacity and I feel like I should get that now just for old time's sake. You know what I'm talking about? And that's kind of why I like Pro Tools, because Pro Tools looks like the aesthetic of Audacity. You know what I'm talking about? And when I was growing up, it's like 2015 was a weird time, because it's like you would think that it was a time where it's like it's great for music. It's like one of the perfect times for musicians to get out, and like everybody has everything and like you can get a studio in the palm of your hand. But that wasn't, ain't nothing could be farther from the truth. You feel me? It was like one of those last years where it's like you really had to go to somebody's studio to record and you weren't able to do it at your house. And you know what I'm talking about? It was very hard to do almost anything by yourself. You just didn't have the right equipment or the programs, and not everybody knew how to get the programs. So it was like,
I feel like 2012 to 20. So I'm sorry, interrupted.
Yeah, like 2015, like when I started making CDs, I was actually using like, can you hear me?
All right. So do you work under anyone, or are you your own management, or do you manage others? Or like what's the situation like?
I'm solo dolo, man. And well, when I was younger, I did try to start a record label, but it was just under myself. And I did have the opportunity to work under other people as well, but I haven't taken them. I did have a manager like a year or two ago. Like I say, around 2 years ago, I did have somebody manage. I paid somebody to manage for me and help give me writing, you know, little stuff like that. But other than that, nah, I'm solo.
So you never really been involved with like any industrial scenes?
Oh,
or
man,
anything?
I have.
Oh, you have?
I have been around industrial scene. I'm right next to LA, so it's like, it's not really hard to like meet people that want to get into the industry and certain parts of the industry. And you know what I'm talking about? Like, I have met people down the line that, you know what I'm talking about, I have met certain names and all that. And, you know, somebody, it was fun. I'd say around maybe 2020, 2019, it was like my introduction to the industry. I was at a certain level at that time. I'm still at a certain level now, but I still had a lot to learn. But I did learn a lot. It was a very big learning experience for me.
So did you meet them before or after you got involved in the music?
Some of them I met when I was younger, like when I was in school. Others I've met down the road, and just in my experience as an artist. And it's just like my growth to who I became now, especially just how it stemmed from like when I was younger, is part of my evolution. It's just part of just me as an artist. It's part of the artistry and just like growing and building in myself and just perfecting myself along with my music and just seeing me grow as a person.
So speaking of growing, how big is your fan base right now?
I'd say, I'm gonna be honest, I'm not really too massive in terms of like in comparison to like other artists that's like their major and all that. But I'd say I'm above the 5K, like the 10K range. So it's like I'm just really a mid-sized artist, middle range, just a decent-sized artist. Like, not too small, not too big, just kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I do think those are pretty neat to track, but for someone like me, it's not really about, like, the numbers and stuff like that. It's more just about, like, the message and what you bring to the table.
I'm just glad.
And I feel like you feel the same way.
I'm just glad as an artist I'm established. As I said, that is true, but it's nice to have a little establishment. Like, yeah, I got my little, you got your little, like, 1,000, 2,000, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Just having a little foundation, you know what I'm talking about? Just having a little ground and that your name matters, you know? I feel like that means a lot to me. So I'm glad that I'm
able. I'll definitely say.
I'm glad I'm even able to reach the point to where I'm at now. I don't feel like I'm a failure. I feel like I'm successful as an artist, that I'm able to call myself an artist. And you know what? I can be in the studio. I can be in the room. And you know what? I'm H-Boy. I'm Crazy. You know what I'm talking about? And you feel me? Some people know me. Some people don't. But hey, I'm here. You know what I'm talking about? And I know what I'm.
You know who you are.
I know who I am. I know what I'm talking about. And nobody can say I don't. That's one thing, but it's just I know who I am, and that's what I believe in. So I'm just glad I have a foundation for myself as an artist. It's really helped me a lot.
So even though you're not like huge or anything like that, but you still have like a decent following, do you have like any kind of like shirts or merch or anything like that?
I should.
Where do. People or like.
Check it out.
So is there like.
I do have a page, man. Check it out. hboyworldwide.store.com. Again, that's www.hboyworldwide.store. It's not .com, though. hboyworldwide.store. Check it out. You feel me?
You know, I never knew you sold merch. I might consider getting some myself.
I might get you a sample.
Just to support you.
I really appreciate it, all man. Right. I'm always uploading designs. You know,
of course. Heck, I wear them around. I'm sure you design really cool shirts. So, when was the first time you released your song or an album?
Officially, or I'd say
like both. Like I would say, like when I first started.
I was 2015. I was 14 years old when I first started making music. I dropped. Over five albums. I dropped five albums in my first month as an artist. Like, as just like a little 14-year-old rapper kid, because I was just so crazed about what I was doing. I was so ecstatic. In less than 2 months, I dropped 6 or 7 albums. And even in high school, by that time, before I even finished high school, I already dropped more than 20 albums. None of them are out for the public right now. Only I have them. Like, I'm older now. I progressed so much that I look at them like they're trash and stuff. But I did learn a lot of just how to make my cover artwork. And I just learned a lot of cool stuff. I just had so much fun with it. And, you know, this is all before I was 18 years old.
Which I still think is pretty impressive. And you know what? It's good to have the experience regardless.
I miss school, man. I miss them times.
Sometimes I miss my school. I remember when I was, I think in eighth grade,
Right.
I took a robotics class where I programmed robots.
That's pretty cool, man.
Awesome. Yeah. I kind of miss those because those were pretty cool. So towards the beginning of this, we were talking about like music genres
All
and how
right.
there weren't like a lot back then, and now like there's like a bunch nowadays. But how would you define like your genre of music?
My genre of music, I would describe it. It's really hard to say. I don't describe myself as a rapper. I make rap music mainly, but I'm not a rapper, you know? So I'd really describe it as just,
It's like
I'd say
rap-ish.
raw. I'm gonna call it like that. I'm gonna call it raw. That's how I'm gonna call it, raw. You feel me? And it's just hard, like.
It's not really like attached to a music genre. It's more just about you,
Right.
an expression of
Right.
yourself. So, yeah, I feel like when it comes to that, then I feel like more than anything, you kind of just have to listen to it to get it. You kind of have to know the art personally.
I did used to say Trap and Drill, but no, like what it really is what I mean is just raw. Like it's just so raw. I'm still discovering it myself. So I'm still discovering myself as an artist and what my genre is, but I know that once I figure it out, I know that it's something good. That's all I know for sure. I'm discovering that it is something good. So I'm gonna keep going on the path and I'm gonna keep discovering and I'm gonna keep searching, and when I find it, it's gonna be something major.
So like what's the design process in going into this? Like what's the process for making your music?
Check it out. I made all my lyrics myself. I make all my lyrics myself. I don't use any ghostwriters. Not hating anybody that does use ghostwriters, but me personally, as of yet, as of today, I do not use any ghostwriters, and I make my own cover art. For the most part, I make my own cover art, and on some, I just pick a raw beat, and I just go crazy on it. I can make beats myself now, so that's something as well that I'm trying to just dive into and just go crazy.
So, is there any part of your creative process that you don't do, or do you do it all
The
yourself?
only part that I don't do, I can make my own beats now, but for the most part, I still like everybody else's beats and how they sound. So, it doesn't hurt to just pick somebody else's beat out and just go crazy on that. And you know what I'm talking about? But I'm still learning how to make beats a little better. But you know what I'm talking about? If your beat is hard, I'll rap on it. So that's just what I go about it. But as an artist, if I want to, I can make everything from scratch. It feels,
That's pretty impressive.
yeah. And you know what I'm talking about? That's an elite status, man. Shout out Lil Rambo. A little Rambo beast.
So you talk about growth. I kind of wonder like what the growth process would have looked like between then and now, because
Oh
I feel like
man.
we all grow at different rates. So I feel like this would be a little hard to predict, but like where do you see this going? Like maybe even with like within a year's time, where do you see this music career you've got building? Where do you think it
I
will
don't see
go? Do you
myself.
think it'll
I don't
grow
see
a little
myself.
more or what?
I honestly don't see myself going absolutely crazy, like, oh, I'm gonna hit top chart. But I do see myself just being more established and just more seen around and just more seen around the community and just, I'm talking about, oh yeah, H boy, I'm talking about, and just more
Yeah, you're
present. And
there.
I'm just there and I'm just part of the community and that's it. And I really think more people would hit me up for the services that I I'm able to do and turn stuff like that, and that's it. And I just see myself just notice. I just really see myself as there and just, I'm talking about that I'm just around.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah,
And I
you're
appreciate that.
there. You have your own following, and that's pretty
I
cool.
feel like if you really if you make a top chart and you go up and you go and you say you're not as good as you used to be, people are gonna call that out and be like, oh, you fell off, or you know what I'm talking about. And for me,
Yeah,
that's
I
me
hate
as an
people like
artist.
that.
I don't that's not what I wish.
Like, it's not about numbers.
And it's not, and it's really just me just being in the middle where it's like, it's not exactly like you're, you know, you're hard, but you're there, whether you're going up or down a little bit, you're just there and your position is established. And that's something that I really, that's something that I really enjoy and that something that I really cherish.
Yeah, I don't really get the point of like why some people do this, and I kind of find it really annoying more than anything else.
Right, right.
But like whenever like when somebody on the internet just like makes something that just gets massively popular for no reason.
I don't wish
and then they keep continuing. Yeah. And they just keep continuing because it's something they like doing. It was never about like numbers for them. And then people say stuff like you fell off. It's like, no, you guys made something of mine randomly popular one day. If
you were an artist and somebody were to tell you that you fell off, how would that make you feel?
Yeah.
You know?
It's like the same thing as like going on Reddit and typing people, not funny or dead meme.
But look, some stuff is funny, you know? Somebody like, come on, bro, like laugh. Like if it's funny, laugh. And it's like, you know, somebody, and it's just like, I don't really listen to all that. Like whether you fell off, whether you didn't. If you did what you wanted to do and you weren't hard, you know what I'm talking about? That's respected and that's respectful. And I'm respectful to that.
I really think at the end of the day, you should just live and let live. Because the way I was raised, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything.
There's a lot of artists. You got to understand. When I started rapping, when I fell in love with music was a whole different time. From that time till now, there were many artists that have gone up and fallen. I have seen a whole generation, specifically the SoundCloud rappers in general, the entire SoundCloud scene, all the 2016 rappers, almost all of them, I've seen rise and fall. A lot of the reason they rose and fell, they never stayed, was because they were just doing it for attention, or they didn't want to be artists. They just wanted to chase what was popular at the time. That's why when it stopped being popular, everything fell, and I've witnessed the entire rise and fall of an entire generation of potential musicians, of potential, you know what I'm talking about, but I'm still here. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, I feel like trend chasers and people who go after it strictly for fame for and mind. And I feel like people who strictly go after it for like the fame and mind, or thinking that they're going to get big and rich one day, or just someone who starts on a trend. I mean, you're setting yourself up for failure. Even and if disappointment. You do
become,
you have to love.
Even
what
if
you do
become a quote unquote success, it's only going to be for so long until you just fall down. You know what I'm talking about? It's like shooting a bullet in the air. Yeah, it goes up, but it's going to go down, and it's never going to rise again. And that's the sad part. If you're an artist, even if you fall, there is still a potential for you to bounce back. It's like you chew gum. Say you chew a good piece of gum. It tastes great at first. Oh, it makes you. But once the flavor is out, you know where it goes? It goes into the trash.
Nothing.
Or to the floor that gets stuck on. Nothing lasts forever. That's that. And nobody else is going to want to chew that piece of gum again. You were good once. Nobody wants to chew you now. Nobody wants you now. And that's a sad story. That was a story what happened with an entire community, entire generation of artists. It's sad.
Or musicians, or
even if I can't call them musicians or artists, I just call it potential. There was a lot of ways to potential there, and me as an artist, I'm not happy to see that. It made me feel very discomforted, and it's very unfortunate that those events are what transpired. That's what transpired because of said actions.
So you yourself as an artist, have you ever like made a song that like a lot of people liked that you tend to look back on and you sometimes think, man, I should remaster that or I should improve upon that?
Oh, definitely. I think about that almost every single day. But at the same time, I just got to get back in my headspace. Like, look, I tell myself, whatever it was back then, was back then. There's a lot of music back then that I thought was pretty cool. There's a lot of music that I make, and I learned this the hard way. There's music that I've made, but I'm always going to keep to myself. Even if it sounds good to me, I know I can't release it to everybody. Just because, you know, it's like, There's a lot of stuff that you make, but it's all about perspective, and other people might laugh at you, other people might hype it up, and you know what I'm talking about. There's certain stuff. Me as an artist, I make whatever I want. I make whatever I want. But me, in terms of my branding and just what I'm going to put out there for the public, and there's got to be something different, and that's just stuff I learned in the industry. That you can't put everything out there. You can have a lot of content. It's not good content. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about, say, movies, right? You can't put every single movie out there. It could be bad for the company. If a certain movie got out there and it wasn't what the fans or the people who are watching were expecting, it can make your entire company look bad, regardless of the effort and the work put into it. People don't really care about that perspective. They just care about the product. The people that are listening, most of the people aren't engineers or producers themselves. They're just viewers, and they're gonna have their own perspective. That's probably gonna be a complete 180 of what you are thinking. And when you take that into account, you just gotta know what to put out, know what not to put out, know what to keep to yourself. And that's just as an artist, that's just what comes to being an artist. And there's nothing wrong with that.
So with that in mind, have you, like, ever performed live?
In a certain sense, and I have unofficially, I have got up, I have, like, especially when I was younger, I have got up and I did my little thing in front of people and stuff like that, but in terms of just going up on stage, like, officially, not yet. That's the one thing, but I am out there and people do know, so. But that is one thing that I am trying to get taken care of. I have been invited so many times to come along. I've been invited. I've had my opportunities to go up and do my thing. But there was always something coming up that it just wouldn't happen, whether it was too far away or something along those lines. But I know my time is coming soon. And maybe I just need to be ready for it. Better late than never. Just hoping soon.
Yeah, that's a good mentality to have. What kind of file do you, like, when you post your music, like, what kind of files do you distribute to your audience?
WAV, man. WAV file. Now, I used to do, like, the highest quality I used to do back then. It was, like a 320 kilobyte MP3. But now, if it's not WAV, I do not want it. Or I've with it. But now,
yeah. I remember when, like, I remember, like, before we had things like SoundCloud and iTunes. Now I remember, like, everyone used, like, iPods.
Oh yeah, man. Oh gee, no.
Yeah, those. Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of weird for me to think about
high school.
How
I was in high school with the iPod. I was in high school with the iPod when I was like 14. I was one of those kids that was not allowed to have a phone, man. I hate to break it to you. I was one of them kids where it's like I had a. Let me tell you something. I got a bunch of quarters, man, you know, for my house and stuff like that. And I would pay my friend $10 in quarters for an Obama phone. And I wasn't allowed to have phones, so I would have it for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I would ask my friend, like, whenever it was the weekend, hey, can you hold my phone for 2 days? Can you? And he's like, okay, I'll bring it back charged. And then when I come back to school, he would give it to me. And that's when I'd be on it. It's crazy times, man. Like. But, you know, it was fun. I remember just being on Facebook. I didn't grow up with Instagram. I didn't grow up with the Instagram that's going on now. I'm a Facebook kid, you feel me? I grew up when it was Facebook and the whole game going on there. The music, the stuff going on there. I'm from that part of the culture, you feel me? So it was a different time.
I remember, I'll say, like, I was an early 2000s kid. So even iPhone itself was brand new for me growing up. I remember when my parents used to use, like, Verizon flip phones, and, like, everyone in my family
had those before, like, iPhone. My anxiety, especially later in high school, was so bad. I used to want to go to school just so I could have access to the Chromebooks for 30 minutes so I could plug my earbuds in and listen to music. That's how dedicated, and that's just how in love and just how deep I was into making music and listening to music at this time. I was like 17 years old. I remember how my anxiety was just through the roof. But regardless, I just had to listen to music. I wanted to go to school. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to school tomorrow, so you know, I can have my phone. I had an iPhone 4, and I had an iPhone 4, and like when I was like 17 years old in high school, you know what I'm talking about? Because, and all I wanted to do was just listen to music, forget everything else. Like, that's the truth. It's the truth. Like, the story of my life. All I ever wanted to do was listen to music, go crazy on music, forget everything else. Listening to, using the school Wi-Fi just to even get on SoundCloud, and it wouldn't even play properly. But hey, I'm listening to music, so I'm listening to music. Like, so, and that made me feel happy. That was one of the only things that brought me peace at that time. If it wasn't for music, I don't know how I would have got through high school. It's the truth.
Music seems to be like something that a lot of people who were just a little bit older than me, they tend to like view music as like this special thing that is precious to them. It's, and I feel like you're part of that group. So yeah, because that was what was for them at the time. Music was very, very big and very important.
It's like, I feel like times have changed now, and just hear me out. And I'm glad to be on this interview now to point this out, but check it out. It's like when I was growing up, I'm gonna say like this, there's certain things that were just, certain things that just sweep the world. It's like, you remember in the early 2000s, in the 90s, when video games came in? Oh my gosh, I could not get off of video games. You know what I'm talking about? 10 hours straight, video game, video game, video game. And now it's like, everything.
I'm still that way.
I bought a modded Wii not too long ago. I'm still going crazy on that. So I know that. I don't want to hear the excuse that, oh, you're just getting old. Like, nah, it's because games aren't what they used to be. But other than that, at least in my opinion, but in terms, it's like, just check it out, man. The point is like, video is like, certain stuff like that, it was major back then. But now it's like the world has shifted from video games, and now it's music. Now people can't get off of music. And after the music, it's like, you know what I'm talking about? It goes back and forth, and it goes like one way, it goes another way. It's like, if it's not one thing, it's going to be another thing that's going to take over people's lives. And I feel like music had dominance. When video games were crazy, not a lot of people were really listening. Not a lot of people were listening to music like that. Like, oh, like, if you ask somebody, what do you think about music? You ask your friend, what do you think about music? Eh, it's whatever. You know what I'm talking about? It's all right. But now, and then it's like, what do you think about video games? It's like, oh, it's crazy. And then it's like, now if you ask somebody, you're like, what do you think about video games? They're going to be like, eh, it's whatever. What do you think about music? Oh, I can't live without it. You know what I'm talking about? It's crazy. Like,
yeah, and I definitely think that is something due to, personally, I myself think that, like, I grew up with like the Wii, right? And I still have my Wii. I still love my Wii. I used to play all my GameCube games. I did have Mario Galaxy at one point, but I unfortunately lost it.
My homebrew players, man. Yeah. My homebrew users, y'all rock, man.
Yeah, I really wish I could get a modded one myself, but I just have like the normal like day one model that I've had for forever. I pretty much just use it to play like my favorite GameCube and Wii games, because I grew up with those. Like, I grew up with, like, the original Paper Mario, like, old Zelda, Luigi's Mansion, stuff like that.
Shout out, man.
So, I've always loved those. My favorite games. I've always loved those.
My favorite games are the Mii games. I love the Mii games. Even as a kid, I love the Mii games. And there's this, and
I love the
Dragon Ball
Budokai
Tenkaichi 3 series, man. The Dragon Ball Budokai Tenkaichi 3. The two, I grew up with those two. Those were amazing. I also grew up with a lot of the WiiWare games. I absolutely love those. I'm going to be honest, the Wii changed a lot of things, man. The Wii was something different. And as a kid, I couldn't see it. But now I'm grown, man. I'm grown. And I still love cartoons. I still love video games. I still love all that stuff, man. And you know what? And it's like, I've seen a lot of people around me that just like, man, I'm too old for that. I'm like, man, like, what are you going to watch, man? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're going to like, what are you going to watch? There's not that, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, a lot of stuff, I'm going to be honest, as I'm older, I feel like I enjoy it more now than I did back then. I'm going to be honest, because my perspective has changed, and I just see more now. And I'm going to be honest, I love it more now than back then. I'm going to be honest.
Okay, yeah, I feel like there's a special like nostalgic value behind it, too. So it's just like memories attached to it. I also wonder if, like, because I remember when Netflix was huge, and now we have like a bunch of these other streaming services. I wonder if the internet's going to go back to streaming services.
I wonder if it's going to be something more major. Think about it. You ask somebody that, like, you go back to 2007, right? And back then it was like cable was the new thing. Oh, you can record your shows now. What? I can record my shows? You know what I'm talking about? And it's like, back then, that was like the biggest thing, and nobody thought anything could top that until Netflix came around and just changed everything. Now, it's not just Netflix. Like, now stuff like Hulu has come around. There's so much stuff going on right now. And I feel like once everything reaches a certain point, something new will come along that we did not even see coming. Like, you know what I'm talking about? It's just crazy, like. It's crazy. You would think everything reached a point. It's like, I'm not going to compare it to Jenga, but think about it. It's like, it is kind of like Jenga in a way. But instead of pulling stuff apart, you're putting stuff together all the way to the top. You know what I'm talking about? Then the more you just keep adding on and building to the sky. Once it reaches a certain point, it all falls and something new takes over. You know what I'm talking about? That's how I see it.
It does kind of feel like that now that you mention it. I always, I have a special fondness when it comes, because I'm not trying to say new video games are bad, but I just don't really like these new ones as much.
Right. But there's a reason for that.
Yeah. Even with Nintendo, like with the new Zelda game, Tears of the Kingdom, I am excited for that. But there's something about old Nintendo doing less with more. Yeah, like with the Super Nintendo, the GameCube, the Wii, those are like my favorite consoles ever. Even the Game Boy Advance.
Man,
there's just something.
I know it's not because people will give you like, oh, why don't I like these things anymore? And people will tell you, oh, it's because you're getting older, you're just maturing. I'm like, no, it's not. It's something more than that. You know what I'm talking about? It's something more than that, man. And it's just like, because I played some of the older games I played when I was little, and you know what? I could still play them for a few hours. You know what I'm talking about? Dude, I was literally playing Wii Sports again and I'm still playing it like every night for like 2 hours, 3 hours. Like, stop saying that it's because, oh, I got older. Like, no, there's literally something different. Like,
you know? Like, even the Xbox 360, I wouldn't consider myself a huge Xbox fan. And maybe this is just because my family usually would either have like a PS3 or Xbox 360, but even playing on those, it just feels different than something like a PS4 or a PS5 or an Xbox series. There is something about them. I just wish, because I do feel like now that they're older, I feel like their parent companies are intentionally making them slower. But there's just something about
it, man. You remember when Smash Bros. Brawl came out? I was a little kid. I was going so crazy. You remember, people used to cry. People used to go at the store, "Dad, give me Smash Bros. Brawl." No, crying. Like, people used to go so crazy over Smash Bros. Brawl. And you remember, like, the passion the fans had? It was absolutely ridiculous. And it was something worldwide. Now, Smash Bros. What? Ultimate came out, and people just kind of play it, and it's like, oh, they play it for like 5 minutes, and they just don't touch it again for a whole 2 weeks. There's something going on.
Yeah.
Like, even the newer kids now, they don't enjoy it. You feel me? And it's like, there's something going on with it, and it's just hard to, pinpoint, but it is something. Yeah. There is something there.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But anyway.
Yeah, we kind of got a little sidetracked there. I'm trying to think about how to connect it back to the interview. But I kind of like talking about these because it's something I feel like we share.
Praise God, man. It's all about.
Because we both grew up during like the early 2000s era. And I'm pretty sure you grew up in like late 90s. So you're.
I'm
got to experience what
I'm 2000s too. I'm also 2000, man.
Oh, you're 2002. So you and I pretty much have the same. Yeah, I'm 2003. So
we had to grow up.
We pretty much experienced the same.
You had to grow up with the Namco Museum Remix and Namco Museum Mega Mix. Either or, man. You had to grow up. If anybody out there listening to me, you know what I'm talking about. I salute you, bro. Real G, man.
Dude, Namco was my jam as a kid.
And still is now. I grew up with Namco at that time, bro. Pac-Man was gang. Okay, you want to hear a secret? Real secret. Not a lot of people know about this. Okay, and I'm gonna say it in this interview. When I was in kindergarten, first grade, I was like in second. I wasn't even 10 years old yet, right? There was this one girl at that time. She was my friend. Ooh, she ended up hating me. You know why she ended up hating me? Each time I would get close to her, I'll talk about Pac-Man, bro, so much. She's like, why won't you stop talking about Pac-Man? She'd tell me, she'd get mad. She'd get so mad, bro. I'm telling you, bro. I was that kid, bro.
I was even happy.
I was that kid.
Because like, Pac-Man World Repack, I feel like was the best game to come out this year, if I'm going to be completely honest.
Man. Oh, I gotta
get I grew up. I grew up with like Namco Museum on the GameCube and Namco Museum DS. Even Namco on like the Namco Museum on the Switch, it just feels really, really lacking.
Pac-Man is
crack,
bro. Pac-Man is dope, man. Pac-Man is just straight like, dude. Pac-Man is drugs, bro. Namco is drugs, bro. Namco is straight crack, bro. I'm sorry. That's what it is.
Yeah. I love the classics. I still play them all the time. Especially
those games just made me more awesome, bro. It's you know what I'm talking about? It just kind of something wrong about it.
Yeah. Namco is the king of arcade games, especially games like Dig Dug 2 and Mappy.
Oh, bro, don't even get me Mappy started. Lanes, Mappy was my favorite one.
That was one of my favorite ones too. That and Galaga. But I think, like, honestly, like, you know what I really miss though? And this is like, these games are so weird and obscure now, which is really sad because I played them all the time on the GameCube, and they're on the PS2. But during that time period in the early 2000s, like PS2 and GameCube era, they released specific versions of the Namco Museum classics that had the arrangement versions of the games, and I loved them. They're absolutely amazing. Pac-Man arrangement, Dig Dug arrangement, Galaga arrangement, Mappy arrangement. Those are really good. They're really solid. Especially the Dig Dug arrangement. That's my favorite.
My debut album, you were talking about Galaga earlier. I made a song called Galaga, man. Check it out. You could hear in the beginning when the Galaga ships came down, like, you could hear that, man.
That's awesome. Yeah, especially I kind of got into, like, apparently there's like this whole fandom for like specifically the Dig Dug and Mr. Driller series, because I feel like that whole thing's weird and we're getting sidetracked again. I'm loving it too. And you and I could definitely got to talk about this more. Maybe you and I need to have a podcast where we just talk about Namco stuff.
Oh, man.
But I want to talk to you about the Mr. Driller and Dig Dug series, because apparently there was some kind of huge lore that I accidentally stumbled upon, and there's like freaking wiki sites and fandoms about it. Like I never knew this until like I was in high school. The guy from Dig Dug has a name, and it's Taizo Hori. And that Mr. Driller is actually his son.
Right.
And there's a lot of, and I know that this is probably like common knowledge for Mr. Driller fans, because Mr. Driller was stupid popular.
Right.
But like, they have a whole family, and it's just like a complicated story. Apparently, I forgot how to pronounce her name, but it starts with an M. But apparently, like, Susumu Hori is Taizo's son. Taizo had a wife at one point, but now they're divorced. And the whole, they have a weird relationship, because like, it's just really weird too. Yeah. Because sometimes it's good, but a lot of times they it almost seems like they're kind of falling apart and drifting away from each other, because Susumu loves his dad, but his dad is very jealous of him and actually hates him.
Crazy
sometimes.
How it replicates life, man.
Yeah, which is really sad, because I love Taizo Hori. I think he's awesome, but he is an awful father.
Yeah.
I even showed you. I especially love the game Dig Dug Digging Strike too, because that's such a fun game to play. It's on the DS.
Right.
And I even showed you I made a sprite for him. Like, I showed like side by side what he looked like in the original Dig Dug, and then I made a sprite of him based off his Dig Dug Digging Strike design, which looks really cool. I especially like the little goatee that he has. I actually think that's a nice touch, because He was obviously Dig Dug. He was younger back then. That's what the series constantly talks about in both Mr. Driller and Dig Dug is, well, I see, I'm the better driller because I took care of the Dig Dug incident back in 1988. And it, like, the goatee shows age because he's getting older.
Freaking Dig Dug, man.
And it's just like what we were talking about, too, like how time moves on. Everyone loves Mr. Driller. Everyone loves Susumu more than they love Taizo. He's more well-known. And that makes Taizo upset.
All the real G's out there.
But we're getting...
For all the real G's out
there. Well, I
is it what?
I definitely gotta like show you a lot more about this too. Some
freaking Dig Dug, man. If you're real, for all the real G's out there, man, you gotta check out Dig Dug and Mappy and the you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm gonna talk about when I say this, but you know, like the Mappy episode, the Mappy. You know what I'm talking about? It was like a 13 episodes or something.
Yeah, on YouTube. What was it called again? I forgot. It's just called Mappy and just an animated series, but it's got like all of like the Namco characters, and I think the reason why they're all there, this is just my theory, I think the reason why they're all there and Pac-Man's not is because Pac-Man took off and became his own thing, and all the other ones have separate games, but they're less known, and the only one, that's like really popular out of all of them like... is Dig Dug. You have like Sky Kid, you have Mappy, you have Dig Dug, which... This is sad because obviously, you know, Dig Dug didn't have a name for a long time, so this is a little bit outdated, but they didn't, they just have him there and they call him Dig Dug instead of Taizo.
I love it when they do that, how they portray the characters.
Yeah, I especially love Taizo's personality. Moro, he's a lot more young, obviously.
Moro became one of my favorite characters, bro. Oh, Goro, I mean.
Yeah.
Goro was one of my favorite characters.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot they refer to him as his first name because his localized name is his last one, which is Namco, and that's what they call the company.
Yeah.
Which I think is
that's
pretty
so
cool.
Creative, man.
And the Musky's also.
That's why games are so cool back then, because back then they just did little stuff like that that was just cool. They were passionate and they showed.
It was creative.
Look, man, you know when your mom says that, hey, the secret, you know, your mom ever made you food and tastes good? It's like, what did you put in it? And when your mom's like, the secret recipe is love. You know what I'm talking about? That's why it tastes so good. You know what? These games, the secret recipe is love, man. They put love for their fans when they made their stuff. Of all the stuff they put in, they put love in it. Now everything's so corporate. There's no more passion. There's no more love in what they do. Back then, there was a splash of love.
I think.
You feel me?
Well, I think that's exactly what it is. But I feel like what it is that those video games like that are a form of art, and it speaks to us, especially
like my music,
like for me especially. Yeah, especially like your music. It's how you express yourself.
My music, I put a lot of love in my music, and I love my fans. So when I put it out, and I do it love for myself and for my fans, of course it's gonna sound like the most hardest and the most craziest stuff you ever heard, apart from everything else. Because I don't do this for views or anything. I do it, you know what I'm talking about. I do it for the best cause. So of course it's gonna come out the best. You know what I'm talking about. In my opinion, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but of course it's going to come out the best that I can put it out. So that's my take on it.
It's kind of like why I love the Mother series. It's that same concept. I think the Mother series created by Itoi, I think that's art. I especially love Earthbound Beginnings, Earthbound, and I'm really sad this isn't localized, but I still play it all the time. It's Mother 3, and that one's one of my favorite ones. And I can't really describe them to you. It's just playing them is an experience, and I absolutely love them because of it. And it's definitely something you learn to appreciate more when you're older because they're unique, and there's just something about them, almost like some kind of underlying hidden message. And while they are RPG games, so you definitely are going to want to like grind stuff in them, there's just something so deep about them, and I think it's the same idea. It's because Itoi put love into these games because he made them because of his daughter. So that's kind of why I have a special passion for things like small indie developers, One Teams, the Mother series, and right, especially Namco games, which I grew up with. We completely got way sidetracked.
No, it's all good,
man. I love talking about this with you, though.
Bro, I love to hear it. This is for both of us, you feel me?
Yeah, exactly. And I want to talk to you more about like that kind of stuff. I feel like
Gotta get
that's
something.
something
We
you and
gotta
I
get
very
something
much have a
rolling.
connection with because we grew up in the same time pyramid. Pyramid. Same time period. Well, I said pyramid.
Said two rolling.
Time pyramid. Time pyramid.
Some Yu-Gi-Oh shit.
I'm just thinking of a
It
pyramid.
sounds like some Yu-Gi-Oh shit.
Time pyramid. Sorry, I'm sorry.
It's good,
Time
man.
period. Okay.
What's the next
Anyway.
question,
I'm yeah. Sorry, let me get my list back out.
man?
All
You
right.
good?
Say any other unusual talents that may help you in your career?
Well, I do my own lyrics. I do my own lyrics. I can make my own beats. That's something new I acquired not too long ago. Shout out Lil Rambo Beats. He helped me unlock certain sides of myself that I didn't know I had, but
Okay, so earlier you were mentioning you hold some things to yourselves and then you also release some things to the public. I want to know like what all has been released to the public and like if you have like a percentage of how much you hold back, how much is in the public, like what would it be?
well, I'm gonna be honest, I've made over in terms of all time or just in terms of what I'm making right now, like currently, like for the past 2 years.
Oh man, guess do
So for
both
all time,
because I'm curious to know. I
for
was
all
thinking.
time is like, have you ever seen the meme of like the glacier charts? You ever seen the glacier meme, the
The
iceberg?
iceberg
Yeah.
memes,
So anyway,
yeah.
like the iceberg is like what everybody knows is like, I have around two or three albums out right now. Like total, like whether they're on all platforms or not, I got three albums out right now. So I basically got like at this point in time, I think a little over 20 songs out. So that's like more like towards like the top and the lower iceberg region. The truth is, I have made over 400 songs in my career. So everything else is like in the deep abyss, man. And anybody else who knew me, anybody else who knew me and they know stuff about me or knew me back like when I was making music in school and stuff like that, like later in school, like I'm talking about maybe my junior year up, it's like they're like in the middle of the iceberg where it's almost getting dark, but it's not dark. But those who knew me way back when I was 14 years old, they know about like my deep abyss. You know what I'm talking about? I know about my deepest abyss. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's just straight up black, like below, like where the iceberg even is. You know what I'm talking about? There's some stuff I know that I got that nobody has heard. Period. You know what I'm talking about? But it's like almost everything I got is like in the deep abyss. You feel me? And it's like if you didn't grow up with me, you're probably not gonna know. Or you would really have to do your research on me online, and you would really have to go down the rabbit hole. But you know what I'm talking about? H Boy has a deep rabbit hole, man. That's true. There's a lot to me than meets the eye. At least in my opinion. I don't know. I really search about myself as the stuff I do. And I'm like, man, I really did all this. This is crazy. Like, shh.
So with that in mind, with the it's kind of more like the more people get to know you, they kind of see that about you. Do you have anything that's like exclusive or private for like certain parts of your fandom?
The only thing I could really say for sure is like if you go on my Bandlab page and you click on my albums on my Bandlab page, and where it says bonus content, if you're able to get there, you'll see some exclusive content there. It's public for everybody, but it's like for my fandom and stuff like that. And you could
I
see little
see, so.
photos like when I drop the album, like just my journey on making the album, just who and just what kind of person I was at that time, who I was hanging around with, what I was doing, and just little fun stuff like that. So I got little bonus, like if you go to Bandlab and you go to my album page and you see my bonus content there, you could just see little stuff I had going on at the time.
You've been doing this for a while now, but you and I probably both grew up with the
Right.
internet. So
That's why I'm here.
even like pre-internet phase. But like, how has the internet influenced your work as an
Oh
artist?
man.
And if so,
Majorly.
how?
Majorly.
Majorly?
Majorly. I started off with CDs. I didn't start off with so much as internet. Truth be told, I actually wanted to start with cassette tapes.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised anyone remembers those.
But I wasn't able to do cassette tapes for just certain reasons. And just me being a 14-year-old kid, it's not like I had a credit card to go order some outside. You know, I could just order it from Japan. It would come here, you know? And it's like, oh, what I would do, get a little bit of money, you know? And I had all quarters and stuff like that, you know, somebody, I was that kid, you know, somebody go out, go to the Dollar Tree. Look, here's literally my process. I went to the Dollar Tree, 14-year-old kid, like, this is before school starts, by the way. If it's a school day, I go to the Dollar Tree, my mom, you feel me? I go to Dollar Tree, 108 back then. Tax was 108. There was an 8 cents tax back in my day. You feel me? I sound old as hell, but back in my day, it was 108 for a dollar item. $3, whatever the case was, you could buy a bunch of CDs, dollar CDs. You'd go back home. I would burn them on my computer, and I would go to school. Boom, I would have my name on them, and I would give them out for free to a lot of people, and that's how I got known. But in terms of like my mute, but in terms of how the internet played, I actually discovered SoundCloud by accident. But in terms of like, how do I say it? I really enjoyed SoundCloud because it was the only platform I was able to use other than Spotify at the time where I didn't have to pay to listen to any song that I wanted to, but I could turn my phone off. I could turn my phone off, you know what I'm talking about, and it would still play. That's what I wanted. And that's when SoundCloud came in, and, oh, you could upload music here. And this is before I wanted to make music. I just wanted something I could listen to because I was in love with music, period. You know what I'm talking about? So it was like Spotify, you had to pay a subscription, or YouTube is like, you could play a song, but you had to have your phone on. If it turned off, or you put it in your pocket and it would click something else, and it would just ruin your vibe. And
yeah, that was very annoying.
And it's like, SoundCloud was the only thing that, or okay, I could have a song play, and it had almost all the music I wanted to listen to, and I could turn my phone off, and it would still play, and it would not stop playing. And that's something that I really enjoyed, and I really enjoyed that even to this day. So that was just something major. And then by the time I wanted to make music, it's like, oh, you could upload your music on SoundCloud. And I was still putting people on SoundCloud. When SoundCloud wasn't big back then. SoundCloud was still very underground. It's like it wanted to compete with Spotify, but it wasn't even what Spotify was yet. Think of it as like, the best comparison I can make out of this is like, you remember how big Netflix was 10 years ago? But then there was like Hulu just started up, yeah. And it was like, it was trying to compete with it, but it wasn't quite there yet. But it was going to be big in the future. That's what it was. That was what SoundCloud was back then. Where it was like, it was trying to compete with it, but it's just not at the same league. It's not in the same level. And I was trying to put people on, oh, you got to get SoundCloud. You know what I'm talking about? So, because you could listen to, you don't got to pay a subscription. You can listen to your music for free. And you could turn your phone off and everything. It's like, what? You can do that? Like, yeah, man. And it's like, and they would do it. And it's like, oh, it's pretty cool, man. That's it. And as it kept growing, then the whole SoundCloud wave came in like a whole year later. It's like, this is like 2 years into my music career. All of a sudden, everybody came in. Now everybody wants to be rappers. Keep in mind, I already had my little experiences enough to be like a little bit ahead of like certain of the fake rappers. So it's like, I could already tell. I'm like, oh, these people just want to. These people aren't real artists, you know what I'm talking about? Because I was already in the game for like 2 years already, so. But no, like, especially with like Instagram and just social media. Remember, I had Snapchat back then. It was no Instagram. It was no none of that. It was Instagram. Instagram didn't come in yet. Instagram came in later. It was Facebook and old Snapchat. That's what it was. 2015, Facebook and old Snapchat. Facebook was everywhere because Madden Mobile was out everywhere. Madden Mobile was the thing. Everybody was on Madden Mobile. Everybody wanted to play against their friends. Facebook was still a thing, and everybody connected through Facebook. And back then, if you were to get a message, it would be through Facebook Messenger. It would not be through Instagram. Nobody would have Instagram back then. Like, people would be like, oh, yeah, I got an Instagram, but it would only have, like, one picture up there, and it would only have, like, 25 followers. You know what I'm talking about? There was no Instagram that we know today was not Instagram. It was just Facebook and old Snapchat, before it had memories, before any of that. This was like right before the dog filter came out. Once the dog filter came out, 2016, I remember the day it came out, freshman year when I was in class. That's when everything just kind of started to shift and change a little bit, but that's when the social media wave started going up. That's when I was going up. People was posting me, taking pictures of me. People took pictures with me. I was in high school. People took pictures with me and stuff like that. Cause like, oh, he's an artist and all that. Freshman year, I was doing these little rap battles. Rap battles was a thing, as I said. If you were an artist, you wanted to be a rapper or whatever, people took that serious. I came to the point I could not even walk outside of my school because everybody was like, if I were to go out to the lunch, I'm going to be honest, you want to hear a secret? I took detention. I asked for detentions at my school. My freshman year, I was asking detentions almost every single day. I was trying to go to, not the principal's office, I say, but I went kind of to like the teacher area where they just had a computer and I just played computer games all day. I could not go outside. I had to get my lunch before everybody else. I had to escape the public eye because back then, my name just started to get out so big that it's like I couldn't even walk outside when it was lunchtime because everybody was always trying to rap battle me and everybody was watching. I lost my first rap battle. You feel me? I came back. They said if I lost the second one, that I was never going to be able to rap again. And it was like this whole group of people with campus security and everything. Watching this, everybody. Won my second rap battle. It went crazy. People were skipping classes just so they could be with me and be like, yo, like, you know, people back then, if you wanted to be a rapper and an artist, like, it was serious. People was really out there trying to test you, like, that's how I know I'm really before the SoundCloud wave, because when the SoundCloud wave came in, everybody could be an artist and it wasn't, everybody wanted to be a little rapper back then. But when I wanted to be a rapper or a musician or whatever the case may be, you know, it was hard for me. You really had to watch a step because it is before the internet came out and it was like, it was still real. It's before all the internet SoundCloud stuff came out. You know, I'm talking about, you want to be that, you feel me? People gonna test you. That's just what it was. And I passed my tests. But you know what? The new Instagram, that stuff helped me. I don't really entertain. I don't really condone all this internet stuff going on and what these newer artists or whatever they're trying to do on social media, and they entertain social media too much. I just use my social media platform nowadays. Like my Instagram is like a business account. And I just promote what I have to promote. I say a few things, but I don't cross a certain line and I don't entertain drama. I try not to entertain drama and you know, and that's just what I do. And it's just a certain way you got to move nowadays, different time. That's what I think.
So yeah, and I remember like the days before social media, the two big ones that came out were Facebook and Twitter.
Twitter was kind of big too.
Yeah, apparently there was one called MySpace.
Twitter now versus Twitter back 5 years ago was two different stories. Twitter back in like 2015, that was violent, man. It was crazy.
I wouldn't know because I don't really normally use social media. I pretty much just have YouTube and Discord, if I'm going to be honest.
No Discord back then.
So,
yeah. It was, but not like now.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I pretty much use it to connect with friends and people who want to play games with me.
Next question, guys.
Yeah, that's actually where I was getting to. Like, what are your social medias, and where can people find you?
So check it out, man. Almost all of my HBoyTheMan. My main Instagram as of now is HBoyTheMan_. I got another Instagram account, which is just HBoyTheMan. My Twitter is HBoyTheMan. My email, my Gmail, HBoyTheMan@gmail.com. You know, and that's... And that's really it, you know. And I got a link tree, you know what I'm talking about? Linktree/HBoyTheMan, and really that's it. If you want to find me on almost any platform, all you have to do is look up HBoyTheMan, and you're gonna find it.
So, out of all the songs you've created, which one's like your favorite or means a lot to you?
I have this song called Go with Lil Rambo Beats. Shout out Lil Rambo. And it's just, I don't know, it's just emotional. It's one of my personal favorites. I don't know if it's a lot of other people's favorites, but as for me, it's just something that I listen to and I just feel good because it's like, I like to meditate on that song a lot. And it just has to do with just, I just remember just like me growing up and just stuff I feel and just, I just use it to help me move forward. I feel like I just, you know, I just derive a lot of strength from just listening to myself speak on my own struggles. You know, it's like I'm my own motivator, so to speak.
I've never heard of, that's actually pretty powerful. I never heard of somebody being their own motivator like that. Huh. So would you say there are any hidden meanings behind your songs?
Everything is all me. Everything's all organic. You know what I'm talking about? There's no cap in my music for them. You know what I'm talking about? There's no cap in my music for the most part. You know what I'm talking about? So, and if there is, I probably have. But other than that, but everything's all sincere. Everything's all me. You know what I'm talking about? Everything's all organic. You know what I'm talking about? It's just me growing as an artist. You know what I'm talking about? It's like my method in my music is like, I'll say one thing and I'll say it fast and people might think of it like I said it another way, like, but really it's like if you listen to the lyrics, it really means another thing. You know what I'm talking about? So that's like, it's like a method I have in my music. But other than that, it's like everything is organic. You know what I'm talking about? Everything is organic in its own way. So it's like, you feel me? No cap in my music. That's it. It's just me. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to put it as it. It's just me. All me. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, that seems pretty fair. Well, is there anyone is there any specific person that has meant a lot to you in your
music
career?
Check it out, man. I got,
like, any
I got a little list going on. You feel me? Shout out my day ones in the music, my real day ones. Back home, you feel me? Him in California that been with me since I was 14 years old, 13 years old, and has seen me grow ever since I was a little kid and just seen me start, you know what I'm talking about? Shout out to my day ones, you know what I'm talking about? You know who you are, you know what I'm talking about? All my supporters, all my fans. I love all my fans, all my supporters, man. You know, you guys mean the world to me, and you guys just tuning in and just seeing my progress. Everybody else that just seen me grow, you know what I'm talking about? I want to shout out Lil Rambo Beats. You know what I'm talking about? That's my mans and all that. So you guys better check out Lil Rambo Beats. Twitter, Instagram, you know where to find him. He's helped me a lot in my music career. And really, other than that, that's it. Shout out my family. You know what I'm talking about? Simple shit.
So are there, like, any final notes you want to make to those who listen to you?
Check it out, man. Nothing get in y'all way, man. Mentally, you know what I'm talking about? I want you guys to just stay focused. Whatever happened today, tomorrow's a new day. I want you guys to just go get up and get it. Don't let nothing take you down. You got this, you know what I'm talking about? God is with us, you feel me? Whether you believe it or not, you believe in that or not, that's just, that's my personal message to the world. And just, like, you know what I'm talking about? Just do the best and be the best person to yourself and to others. And, you know what I'm talking about? Don't be afraid to glow. Don't be afraid to shine. Just go hard. Go crazy. You know what I'm talking about? And just live life, man. That's all I got to say, man. You feel me? You said it. You feel me? I said it. You feel me? I said this shit. You feel me? Everybody know the deal. What's good with me, so. In terms of that, just be yourself. Be proud and just live it. And don't let the bullshit get to you, man. You feel me? I said it. I said that shit. I'm in the flesh. Age boy.
Yeah, nothing. There's really nothing more to being yourself than just being real. Like, that's.
If you ain't real, then what you are, what's realer than just being yourself? It's real. You feel me? And
exactly. Yes.
One thing I learned in this world is just like, never gonna get exposed if you know yourself. You're never gonna fall if you know yourself. If you know your boundaries, it won't be overstepped. You won't overstep yourself. And other people with different perspectives for what they hold for themselves. They may look at you, if you made a certain mistake or whatever, or something they perceive a mistake, they're going to call you something, they're going to call you out. But as long as you know yourself and you know your boundary and what you live and what you stand on, words are powerful. And I live, you know, I live by my words and all that. But whatever you live by, whatever you say is this, whatever you say is that, architect of your own life. So, you know what I'm talking about? It's like this. I'd rather be at peace with myself and well with the world than in peace with the world and at war with myself. Because in the end of the day, the world is going to go, the world is going to pass on, but you're going to be with yourself forever. The world is going to pass on. Are people that love you, you feel me? They may love you one day, they're going to love somebody else another day, but you're going to be with yourself forever. And I'm going to be honest, I'd rather be at peace with myself and at war with the world. But at the same time, I want to be at peace with myself and at peace with the world that I love everybody. Like the same way I love myself. And you know what? If I had to choose, which option I'm choosing. So.
Yeah. I very much agree with that too. Because you have to live with yourself your whole life. If the world gets into fads, things come and go. And you can't rely on it most of the time.
But you can rely on yourself. As an artist, you can just...
Yep. Why on to those that you keep close to you? You know, have people that you trust and make sure that you can trust yourself
1,000%
more than anything else.
It is.
Because there are people who have the world. This happens way too often, and it's really sad that it happens even within, like, not just the rapping community, but in, like, music as a whole, like music artists. I remember doing a project in school where we had to, like, do research on and present, like, music artist stuff, and nearly all of them in some way, shape, or form dealt with some form of depression, and a lot of them sadly turned to drug usage.
I've also seen a lot of stuff that just goes on behind the scenes in this music stuff. I will say that stuff is real right now. I can't really get too much into it, but talking about, like, at the end of the day, all you gotta do is just keep it real. I'd rather go the real route than the and the easy route, but it's like, I'm talking about, there's nothing good.
I feel like more than anything, you can have the whole world at your fingertips, but if you're not at peace with yourself, you're not going to be happy. Exactly. You need to be happy with yourself first, regardless of what. Yeah. Because, you know,
not a lot of
numbers are numbers, and there's nothing wrong with growing. There's nothing wrong with growing your numbers or growing your popularity, but more than that, it's more important to grow as a person. Right. Like, that should be, like, priority number one. And I know you. You're my friend, and I respect you too. And I can certainly tell.
Yeah,
and I can certainly tell based off of your stories and things you've told me. I know you've grown as a person, and I have a lot of respect for you.
Thank you very much, man.
Son, and I'm very glad to know you, and I'm very glad to be part of this interview.
Thank you,
too.
Man. I'm glad to have you on, man.
It was actually
pleasure. Man.
It was really awesome. Yeah, I'm always happy to talk to you, man. But we should probably wrap up the interview. Right. So, I want to thank everyone for their time here at the Crazy Box, and we all hope to see you again. We thank you for the support for all of our viewers worldwide and local. Right. And for additional information about the Craze Box, please check the description below. Give a thank you to everyone who is tuning in. And also thank you to H-Boy for being here.
The one and only H-Boy. H-Boy the man in the flesh, man. You already know how I'm rocking, man.